I give God praise and glory for it. Let's make a confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell the person beside of you, you'll never be the same. Look in the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is where I want you to go to this morning as we begin to look. I'm going to share something with you here today and this morning that has the power and potential to change your life forevermore. It can take any downtime that you've had, any problems you've had in life, and turn them around for your good. It can do things that no other power on earth can do. It's a principle that I'm going to try to get across to you here today. We live our lives by God's principles, by His Word and His wisdom. You live your life that way, you're going to get what God wants you to have. If you don't, then you're going to get what the devil wants you to have. I want what God wants me to have. How about you? Amen? Away with the devil stuff. He had his way in my life way too long, for 20 years of my life. And so I'm glad he's gone forevermore. Amen. And so now I'm learning to live like the Lord wants me to live. Let me start out with this principle. You're in the book of John chapter 1, verse 1, just a moment. Did you know that you cannot talk without thinking? Your words are hooked, connected to, inseparable from your thoughts. It is an impossibility for men and women to speak without first thinking. So then, when you speak, you reveal what you think. When you think, that is the only thing that you can speak. They are connected. Everybody say, my thinking and my speaking are connected. Say this, say they're one and the same. One is just to yourself. We could call that self-talk. One is when you express it with words to us, and we could call that world talk. That changes your world. But they are one and the same. The thoughts and the words are connected. Now, in saying that, your thoughts and your words determine your life. Your life is not determined because you were born in this country or that one. It is not determined because you were born in poverty or because you were born in riches. Your life is not determined because times were good around you or because times were bad. Your life is determined. Your life is determined by your thoughts and your words. Why else could Paul and Silas, while they were locked up and in jail in prison at midnight, be singing, worshiping, praising God? Because their outside exterior was not determining their life. Their life was being determined by their thoughts and their words. They were singing, worshiping, praising God, mind, heart, spirit, word, speaking. That was determining their life, not these prison bars. And what happened? The prison bars had to let them go. You can't bind and hold a free man. Amen? The outside exterior had to bow to what was going on in their thoughts and in their words. The power of God investing them, of course. Praising, worshiping God. And God showed up based on those issues. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 1, we're giving a principle. And that's what I'm trying to pull out of many passages we're going to look at today. The principle that are behind this idea. In John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning, everybody say beginning, was the Word. What was the first thing? It was the Word. Now we know Him to be the Logos. We know Him to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Him. But prior to being born in a manger, Jesus was not known as Jesus. He was known as the Word. The Word was with God. It says right here, look what it says. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is just as much God as the Holy Spirit, God the Father, all God, okay? Now, Jesus Himself, though, was known as the Word. And what I want you to see, that in beginning was the Word. The same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. Now, verse 3, all things were made by Him. What were all things made by? By what? You said it. All things were made by what? Now, if I'm making this up, you stop me anytime, all right? In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of your life is your Word. The beginning of your Word is your thoughts, and they're all connected as one. Whatever you want in life, it begins with your thoughts and your words. Because in the beginning was the, say it again, was the Word. The same was the beginning with God, was God. And then it says, verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The only life you'll ever have is the one that you speak into existence in your own life. I mean, if you want a life of being down and out and hurt and wounded and being, you know, hit by this world as this world can do all of us, I understand that. If you want to live a life of misery, keep talking it. If you want to live a life of you're no good and you have no value and you belittle yourself and you feel like everybody else is better than you, keep talking it. And you'll have just that kind of life. But you know what you can do? You can change your understanding, thinking of who you are, change the words that you speak about yourself in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, and to your world. Change that and it'll change your world. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. The beginning of anything, everything, your existence is that word about yourself. My wife and I are married, and coming on October 26th, we celebrate 40 years of our marriage. Now, you know what? That had a beginning on October the 26th of 1973. In the beginning was the word, I do. That began our marriage. And without the I do, we were not married. We were not one with each other. That began it. If you took out a contract to pay for your house, you signed it. In the beginning, you signed the first note, and you begin to pay 120 payments, 240, whatever it is that you pay, you begin, and that started it. With what? Your word. You started paying. If you bought a car on time, you did the same thing. You went to the bank, and you said, I will pay you. They said, we believe you. You expressed it. You wrote it down. You signed your name to it, and that began. In the beginning was the word. Everybody say, in the beginning was the Word. My beginnings are the Word. Your beginning is of the Word. Okay? Same as with God. Now, look with me, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. We're going to drop in on this verse again and don't have time to give a proper exegesis to the entire passage, but we're going to look at it in the light of the principle that we see that is there. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Scripture says, turn with me there, I want you to see it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. If you can ever get this one little, how many words is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. These 10 words. 10 words will change your life forever. 10 words right here. Proverbs 23, verse 7. It's talking about a man that says one thing and does another. And the writer of Proverbs says he knows what's going on. You can't believe what this person is saying, and this evil person. But he's not really doing what he says he wants you to do, because something else is going on in his heart. And that's what he really is. And so it says, Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a person thinks, everybody say thinks. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, for God is the God that have all men to be saved. All men don't want to be saved. All men don't think that God loves them, and they don't choose to be saved. So they are not saved because it's not God's will. No, God's will is for them to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 4 says God will have all men to be saved, coming to the knowledge of the Son. But they don't receive that. They don't think that. They don't agree with that. And therefore, then they don't have it. They must believe that he is. They must confess him as Lord and Savior. And without that, there is no salvation. And so it has to do with God's got many things for you and me. He's got a lot of things he wants to do in our lives. He's got a lot of directions he wants to take you. He got a lot of things that he wants to bless you with. But unless you and I begin to come in agreement with him, not just, ceremonial agreement, but true agreement in our heart, our spirit, our thinking, and our speaking, we'll never receive those things. Because if God says to you he wants to bless you, and you come out with, yeah, but, right? You come out with that, then you're not going to get the blessings of the Lord into your life. Why? Because as you think, so are you. Look at it again, verse 10, first 10 words. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible in basic English says it like this: for as the thoughts of his heart are, so is he. Emerson said it like this years ago, a great poet said, a man is what he thinks about all the day long. Whatever you fill your mind with, whatever you fill your heart with, that's what you become. You never did anything. You didn't speak anything except you thought it first. And so I found out, I mean, we've got a sign here that says Jesus is Lord, and he sure is. But if your mind is telling you to do something other than Jesus tells you to do, your mind is Lord. And your mind needs to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Watchman Nee said it like this many years ago. He said, your mind is king. Your mind is king of your body. And it is. It is. But that mind, which is king, as Watchman Nee talked about, great Chinese writer, as he talked about, needs to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Your will, your authority in life that you have needs to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't submit your will, if you don't submit your mind, Jesus is not Lord of your life. And so you know what? We can walk down an aisle. We can shake some pastor's hands. We could even pray a little prayer and shed a few tears if you wanted to. But until we change our mind, what does repentance mean? The basic definition of repentance, as I think Miss Shirley read several times last Sunday morning, except a man be born again. Luke chapter 3 talks about it like this: except a man repent, he will likewise perish. Repentance means a change of mind. It's a change of way you're thinking. Why you got to change the way you think? Because nothing else is going to change in life till that changes. You change the way you think, you'll change the way you talk. You change the way you talk, you'll change the way you walk. You change the way you walk, you'll change what you do. You change what you do, and you get into the law of sowing and reaping, and you get the blessings of God based on what you do. And so it's all connected straight down. And so then, notice, as a man thinks, so is he. So if that being the case, I have got to work on my thinking. You have got to work on your thinking. I mean, you know what? You can do a lot of things. If you want to, maybe like me, want to lose a few pounds, we know what the diets are. We got an internet. We can look up thousands of them. Amen? But not one of them work for you till you change your thinking. Amen? I mean, hey, we can memorize them. We can do all kinds of stuff. Until you change the way you think about it, it's not going to work. You got to change. Get your mind right. Is that what they told Kuhan Luke years ago? Boy, you got to get your mind right. Get your mind right, boss. Got to get your mind right. And so you got to get your thinking right. In Psalms 119, turn there. You're in Proverbs. Back up. Psalm chapter 119, verse 59. Look at it. Look at it in the Word of God. Not making this stuff up. It's real. Psalms 119, verse 59. The Scripture says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Your feet won't turn till your thoughts turn. Everybody see that? Feet don't turn till your thoughts turn. I thought on my ways. Then I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. In other words, I thought about what I was doing in life. I said, hey, this ain't working. This stuff is killing me. How many knows what I'm talking about? The life I've been living been killing me. You ever been at that place? Well, you got to get to the place. The only thing the doctor can tell you, if it's killing you, don't do that anymore, right? So you got to turn your feet. How are you going to turn your feet? You got to turn your mind. Feet don't turn till your mind turns. You got to have it up here in your heart, your spirit, your soul, in your mind before you have it in reality. Look at it one more time, Psalms 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and then turned my feet. If you want to change what's happening around you, you got to change what you're thinking. It will never change out there until it changes in here. Religion tries to change us out there. It tells us how we're to dress, how we're to walk, how we're to talk. It gives us so many rules. Rule number 114, point A, subparagraph C. I mean, it gives us all the rules. But you can have them all. And if you don't change the way you think about it, rules don't do you any good. In fact, what did Jesus say? You know, the law is not made for people that are a Christian, people that are born again. The law is not made for them. They're going to want to do that stuff in their heart and spirit. It's made for that lawbreaker to keep society in a place where we can all live together without about killing each other. I mean, you know what? I don't need the law. I mean, this fellow, my Lord, this fellow that kidnapped these three young girls for those, 10, 15 years, whatever it was that he had them, in his life and come out there and said nothing was wrong with it and that kind of stuff and pled guilty for their sakes but not for his, as he claimed. I mean, just a weird, messed up fella. And then what was it, last week? They discovered him in a cell, hung himself, and took his life for what he did. And he had like 1,000 years worth of time and all that kind of stuff. You know what? He knew the rules. You don't have to tell me not to kidnap. Now, Pastor Bible, make sure today that you don't go out and kidnap some young teenagers. I don't need to hear that. I'm not about to do that. There's something on the inside of me, a law written in my heart that tells me not to. I don't need the law not to do this, that, and the other. Found out years ago when we established our church about what kind of rules and laws we'd have and that kind of stuff to join the church. We finally narrowed it down to just one. To join our church, you must be born again. That's it. Now, being born again, you're going to take care of all the do's and don'ts. You really will. But I found out you list all the do's and don'ts, and people will find a way around the do's and don'ts. I mean, really. People will find a way around that. You know, I mean, well, now look, you said don't do drugs, but did you mean prescription drugs? Because I can get my doctor to write me some on that. You know, so people find their way around stuff, you know. They'll find their way around, all kind of stuff. But you know what? You won't find your way around the Holy Ghost. It's talking to your heart. Amen. You won't find your way around him. He'll convict you and he'll tell you what is right and what is wrong. Amen. And we love the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now then, I thought, and then I turned my feet after I thought. Look with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, if this is the case, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and if by my thinking my ways change, or they go one direction or the other, then my thinking is vitally important to me. What I'm thinking, how I'm thinking, what I'm thinking about, what I'm allowing to go on. And recognize again that connection, thinking and words. Thinking is nothing more than you talking to yourself. How many talks to yourself? Say amen. I do. I talk to myself a lot. I talk to my dog. I talk to the cat that's visiting with us this week. And the cat calls me Mr. Man. He's not that person with me. He just says Mr. Man. But anyway, so I talk to all kind of things. Trouble is when they talk back, that could be a problem for you. But everybody, we all talk to ourselves, whether you admit it or not. You do. You talk to yourself. Some of us talk out loud to ourselves, and that's a problem for some of us. But I can see that Clemson win the ball game or something like that, and I can see Todd walk in about to explode. I mean, he's talking to himself, and he can't wait to let it out. He does a good job at it. But we're all talking to ourselves. You're talking to yourself, good, bad. You're talking to yourself. Don't lie about it. You're talking to yourself. If you're thinking, you're thinking in words. And you know what? You've got the power to do something none other creation has. Animals don't have the power to think and reason like you and I do. They think within the sphere only that they are created for. Man can think that way, and he can think outside the box. Animals don't do that. Cows don't walk up and say, I'm tired of giving milk. I don't think I'll give it anymore. No, they give milk like they always gave milk. Right? Right? They don't have a choice. Right? They don't. Helen knows about that and all those cows. But they don't have a choice. They do. And the second thing, not only thoughts, but the second thing is that you've got nobody else has got, and that's the power to speak. Now, there's some limited communication within animals and things like that, but they don't have that creative speech that you and I have. They don't have that power. You've got something on earth nobody else has got. You're not the epitome, the top of evolution. You're God's created design to rule this place. He gave you the capacity to rule it. What you think and what you say. It'll change your world. Everybody say, what I think and what I say will change my world. Amen. Now, look with me in Ephesians. This being the case, we need to have a little bit of wisdom about this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, or from now on, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Who are the Gentiles, okay? In the Bible, there's this understanding that there is a Jew, the Jewish people, the blood relatives, if you will, of Abraham, the Jewish people. And then there are everybody else, which is the Gentiles. So if you're not Jewish person by blood, by birth, you're a Gentile. Okay? And so he's saying this, that I'm speaking to you, Paul, who himself was a Jew, said to himself, I'm testifying the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Don't walk like they walk. Commonly in Scripture, Gentiles are recognized as worldly people, people outside of the covenant of faith, people doing the wrong thing. What do they do? In the vanity of their mind. What's wrong with Gentiles? They walk in the vanity of their mind. Your mind can be filled with vanity. The translation of that, God's word says this, so I tell you and encourage you in the Lord's name not to live any longer like other people in the world. Their minds are set on worthless things. Why do they live like they live? Because their mind is vain. Their mind is set on worthless things. Why is it that in life you have a choice to do good and do wrong? Why do you do the wrong? Why do you create an action of wrong? Why do you do the wrong thing? Because your mind has been in the wrong thing. You've been walking in the vanity of your mind. Why is it in life that we have choices to prosper and be blessed or walk under the curse and the bad things happen to us? Why? Because our mind's at the wrong place. Why is it that you think that you don't deserve the best in life? Because your mind is vain. You've been listening to the world too long. The devil's been lying to you. How many of you have been lied to by the devil? I have. The devil's been lying to you. Why is it that you think you'll never make it in life, never do anything with yourself in life? Because your mind is vain. You've been listening to worthless things. You've been thinking on it. When you thought on it, then you were saying it to yourself. And while you're saying it to yourself, sometimes you said it to us, said it to other people too. I can't. I'm a wonderful counselor by the Presbyterian man by the name of Jay Adams. A year ago, taught me when I was in the sessions with him for almost 12 weeks that we shared some time together and I kind of known him a long time. But he said the first thing he always says when people come to counseling is one word you can never say in counseling, and that's the word can't. And if some of us would absolutely substitute that word can't, well, really what the truth is, I won't, then you'd be a lot more honest and truthful with yourself, and you can get something done. But this I can't business, no. You did what you did. You didn't have a can't then, did you? Amen? Sometimes it's just you won't. That's some free stuff that slid in. But anyway, Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. See, that's the problem then. If I'm not supposed to walk like Gentiles, and Gentiles don't walk in the covenant blessings of God, then the way I'm going to do that is get out of the vanity of my mind. Something's got to happen in my mind. Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Why do Gentiles walk like they walk? Their understanding, their mind, their thoughts is darkened. They don't have a clue. Someone got real mad at me here a while back. It's been a while back. And you know, I'm not going to do this to everybody. But this one particular person was acting like an idiot, and I pointed it out. You shouldn't call people idiots. And I said, well, are there idiots? Well, yeah. I said, well, that's one of them. I mean, you know, people don't want to hear that. But some people have an understanding darkened. It's idiotic to do that. It's wrong. It's crazy. It's insane. People get their understanding darkened. They don't. Their mind don't think right. They do dumb stuff. All that kind of stuff. If I'm doing something that's dumb, stupid, I want somebody to tell me. Amen? Me and Ricky Bishop, over the years, have done some electrical work. I just fool around with it. He's a master electrician. I've been around him before, and he said, don't do this, don't do that. And he's, you know, and I said, what if I do? He said, that'd be a pretty dumb thing to do, Leon. I mean, why aren't you telling me that? For my own good. You better learn some stuff, amen? About time you learn some stuff, amen. All right. So now notice what he says, and the understanding's darkened. Again, that's the mind going on. Being alienated from the life of God. Your vain mind, your darkened understanding will alienate you from the life or the Zoe or the God kind of life. What's stopping you from living like God wants you to live? Your mind. That's just what he said. And he said the life of God through ignorance. There it is again, ignorance that's in it. Where is ignorance? Where is vanity of the mind? Where is darkened understanding? It's all taking place in your thoughts. It's all taking place in your mind. All that going on. And you change that mind, you'll change your world. Because of blindness of their heart. Not eyes, but heart. The center of who they are. Verse 19. Who being past feeling. Well, what happened to them? They got past it. Their mind controls their feeling. Their mind controls their emotion. And they were past the feeling of God's guilt in their life when they should have had it. They gave themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all in cleanliness and greediness. In other words, they just went, what we say in South Carolina, hog wild for the devil. I mean, they did basically what the world says. If it feels good, do it. That was their only code of conduct that these folks had. Why? Because what's going on in their mind? Because what's happened, darkened imagination that they've got. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us, verse 5 and 6, that God looked and saw the men and their hearts and the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. And when their imaginations got that way, mind, thoughts, God said, I'm going to kill them all. And he did. He wiped off planet Earth except for 8 people, Noah and his family. I'll take them all out. Why? Because their mind, their imagination was only evil continually. Look at verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Now the people that have learned, where's learning take place? In the mind. In the mind. People have done something in their mind concerning Christ. They not like this. You have not learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him. Where do you hear him at? Through your ears. It does what? It goes into your mind. Heard him and have been taught by him. As the truth, as in Jesus. What were you taught? That you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Everybody say mind. See, I got to get my mind right. If I don't, I'm going to walk like Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. If I don't, I'm going to walk under the curse. I got to change the way that I think. You got to change the way that you think. You know what? There's a lot of ways to say it, a lot of illustrations that you can make about it. But you could be hurting financially. I understand that. You could be in poverty. You could have great need. Your understanding might be that a few dollars would help you out. But you know what? And there might be a time to give a few dollars to get you out of the tough spot, okay? But that ain't going to get you out. You won't ever get poverty out of your life until you get poverty out of your mind. Your mind's got to change. If I say my mind's got to change. Somebody says, oh no, it's circumstance, it's condition, it's this, it's that, the other. I understand there are factors out there that we can look at and get excuses, you know. But right in the midst of every depression we've ever had, there's been men and women who are getting wealthy over and over again and again and again. Look at the stats. Look at it. Look at the stats. In the last... I think the last 10 years when we've been through some of the very hard economic times in America, the people that have had money have gotten more wealthy than ever. Why? They don't have a poverty mentality. See, what you're talking, you're bringing into your life, what you're speaking, your feet are turning that direction. We just read that. You need to consider, think your ways. Consider your ways. Now, get your mind renewed here, it says. Renewing the spirit of your mind. Now, notice that word spirit, it's not Holy Ghost of your mind. And it's not actually, in essence, it's not the spirit, soul, and body of man. It's that overall way of thinking. It's like this. I know some things about the Lord Jesus Christ, not because I know it. I know Jesus loves us. I can read that in Scripture. But that's a point of fact of knowledge. But because I've lived around Jesus so long, there's some stuff I know about him that I haven't read it per se in Scripture. I just know that's the kind of person he is. When some people talk about Jesus and put something on them to hurt them and bring sickness and disease to their life and stuck them with it, I can go to some Scripture that tell us, you know, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. I can do that, but I don't need to. I just know Jesus. I know the spirit of it. I know he ain't going to do something like that. Amen? And so that's what he's talking about in the spirit of your mind. It's not just necessarily getting point by point by point by point by point, memorizing each point. We're going to do some of that, and that's good. But it's just the overall spirit of your mind's got to shift. There's got to be a change in understanding. That somebody might say to you, well, the world does this. What's wrong with that? Well, you know, I don't know exactly what's wrong with it, and I don't have verse scripture, but I know this. It just don't sit right in my heart and spirit. The spirit of my mind just don't go with that. That you know, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, that's between you and God, but to ask for me in my house, no, that just don't sit right. That don't sit right. It doesn't. That's what you call changing the spirit of your mind. And you got to get your spirit of your mind changed. Now, again, thoughts and words are what your mind is, as far as you and I understand. Thoughts and words in our minds got to change. You can't come to God and say, Lord God, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I'm wounded, I need your help, I need your healing. But on the inside of your mind, you're thinking, well, days of miracles are over. Or God doesn't love you enough, or God's trying to teach you something. Or God's got a perfect time and it ain't today. You know, if those are all your thoughts, your spirit of your mind hasn't changed, even though you might be down here in the altar saying, Pastor, please, I need help, I'm hurting, I'm in pain. If your spirit of your mind hasn't changed, you're not in faith. You're going to walk away the same way you came, whether it's me or anybody else prays for you. And we'll all love you and all care for you and all do the very best we can. But this thing up here has got to change. And you know where you're at based on what you're talking to yourself, what you're saying in your mind, what's coming out your mouth. It reveals who you are. Let's look one other place. I want to bring us to another. Go back to the book of Psalms, or one other point I want to bring to you. Psalms chapter 77. Well, all the way back to the book of Psalms chapter 77. A third thing I want to bring to you. We're going to renew the spirit of our mind. Now, if we're going to do that, how am I going to do it? How am I going to renew the spirit of my mind? Or how am I going to change my thoughts and my words? Because that's the spirit of my mind. In Psalm 77, verse 11, the psalmist gave us an understanding of this. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Remember when the psalmist is writing this, if this was David, he didn't write all the psalms, but he wrote most of them. But if David is writing this, the works of the Lord is another way of talking about the word of the Lord, and certainly the works of the Lord. But in those days, you didn't have a book like you and I got and everything written down. There were some scrolls, there were some things that were written down on skins and parchment and paper, very few and far between of those. Most of the Old Testament law was transmitted orally. That's why when God said to Abraham, I know him, he'll tell his children in the morning, he'll tell them at night what the word of the Lord is. And they passed it along by sayings and by speaking. Now, there was some writing that was out there, but it wasn't prevalent at all. And so whenever they're talking about the word of the Lord in the Old Covenant or the works of the Lord, they're talking about that they've been told about God, how he led them and brought them out to the Red Sea with a mighty hand. And we're looking at those things. For you and I, we could say the same thing, but we also have a, Scripture says in the book of Peter, a more sure word of prophecy that God has given us. We have his word that he has given us. Inscribed in our hearts, of course, is where it's supposed to be, but also written and proclaimed and inspired by Almighty God. And so we've got that. So keep that in your understanding. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord, Jehovah God. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. In other words, where is my mind? What? How do I remember? That's taking place where? In my mind. I'm going to let my mind think about the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember in my mind the wonders of old, the great things God has done. Just putting to you straight, I mean, you know, I watch television like you guys do, I'm sure, or whatever, and we're very careful about what we watch, and we go to some movies if they're PG or G. We don't go anything outside of that. But and so I'm not trying to sit here and say I've never watched a movie nor seen anything on television like that. But you know what? If you know more about American Idol than you know God's Word, you're in trouble. Everybody says, oh, Lord, help me, Lord. You're in trouble spiritually. Am I saying you're going to hell? No. I'm saying that if that's where your thinking is most of all, then the blessings of the Lord are going to seem way off from you. You're going to be saying all this kind of stuff like, somebody pray for me, somebody do this for me, somebody do that for me. Because you're not really that connected to him. You're connected too much to the world. Amen? That's another free one. That didn't cost you anything. Verse 12. Notice what he said. I will meditate. Where's meditate take place? Everybody say the mind. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I will think and talk. Everybody say think and talk. I will think and talk, because you can't talk without thinking. And even if you don't say it out loud, you're still thinking and talking in your mind. I will think and talk both. I will meditate. I will think and talk of the Lord's work and his doing. If you want to change the spirit of your mind, and your mind is that part of you that's thinking and talking, then what you do is think and talk a different spirit if you want to change the spirit. In this application, the spirit of the Lord. Everybody say, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. What did Jesus say? For he hath anointed me to what? To preach. The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to talk. If he anointed him to talk, he anointed him in his mind to talk. Spirit of the Lord was upon him because he anointed him to speak. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is on you and he's anointed you to speak. He's in your mind. He's in your heart. He's in your spirit. And if you'll let your mind speak more of the Word of God about you than the world speaks about you, you'll become what the Bible calls a spiritual man, rather than a carnal man or a flesh. It's easy to change your life. Some people say, well, I tried so hard. You don't know how hard it is, Pastor. I done really tried real big and hard. It's easy. All we got to do is get your mind renewed to the things of God, to the perfect will of God in your life. And when you do that, it'll change your life. I mean, it's not a difficult thing to do. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is what? Easy. My burden is what? Light. Oh, it's a hard road. No, it's not. You can try to make it hard, but it's not hard. It's easy. His burden's light. That's what he said. You've got to have that want to. Everybody say, I got the want to. You're in Psalm 77. Back up to Psalms 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words. You want to renew the spirit of your mind? Give ear to my words. What are you giving your ears to? Give ear to my words. You know what? I wish in life that people loved God and his word as much as they love their cell phone. Have you ever noticed that you even go out with somebody to eat? You're not there. Both of you are ticking on your cell phones. I mean, you know, people doing stuff and looking up and, yeah, I heard you, I heard you, I heard you. Did you hear me? Yeah. I said I'm going to give you $100. Okay. Yeah. Give ear to my words. Listen to what God says to you. Oh, Lord, now consider my meditation. The psalmist says, my thinking, my words, my meditation. Lord, God, that's what's going on inside of me. Words, meditation, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, a connection that's on the inside of me. If you want to know where you're at with God, look at your mind. Tell yourself, you don't have to tell me, tell yourself, what do you think about most of the day? What are you thinking about right now? And we can get to the place. I understand. Preacher shouldn't hold you till kingdom come. Amen? And I promise you, I'm not going to hold you long. 4 o'clock will be here before you know it. But if our main consideration right now is, I'm just going to be honest with you, if our main consideration is, oh, what am I going to eat, when am I going to go, where am I going to go, when the line going to get big and all that stuff, I understand all of that, but if that's your main consideration, you just found out where your mind's at. Amen? How many loves me? Everybody say amen. Amen. If you said, I said amen, but I didn't mean it. But last place, John chapter 6, verse 63. I said last point before this last place. John 6, verse 63. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Do you know that what the words that you speak create your life? They create an image in your mind. Let me show you how to do this. I can do this for you right now. I'm fixing to create an image in your mind. You won't be, if you listen to me, it will be impossible for you not to see it. Okay, here it is. You ready? Outside of this church, I have a car. That car is blue. That blue car is a 1971 Dodge Dart. It has windows in it that roll down. Show me how they roll down. Everybody do it with me. Where are you at right now? In this church out there rolling down the windows of my car. I created an image in your mind and there was nothing you could do about it. You can do the same thing with God's word. When you get more of his images in your mind and you do the world, you're going to be a spiritual person on fire for God. Amen? Look in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickens. Your life does not come outside of this world. Your life is spiritual. In the beginning was the word before there was anything flesh. Then the word became flesh. John 1, 14. But here, John 6, 63, it's the spirit that quickens. The spirit gives the life. The life that you have is flowing forth from your spirit, and in this application we're thinking about, the Spirit of God, of course, has given us all of our life, and the Holy Ghost gives us our spiritual life, for sure. But it is that spiritual part of man that's bringing forth your life. The life you got on the outside is the one that you produce from your inside. Your spirit, man, is producing it. Everybody say it is the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. I've been working so hard and getting nothing done. Right. The harder I work, the behinder I get. I had a song about that years ago. The harder I try, the behinder I get. And it's true. You know, they can just work yourself to death. Nobody said, the flesh profits nothing. The words, everybody say words. I speak, words are spoken. Unto you, what do words spoken do? They, the words speaking, they are spirit. They are life. The word that Jesus spoke were spirit and life. When I receive his engrafted word in me, as the scripture tells me, and I let it become a part of my heart and life, his word produces spirit and life on the inside of me. And when I speak my words, they produce spirit and life outside of me. Now, I'm not God, of course. I'm not Jesus, of course. But in the way that God has given us to live our lives, that's creating our world. It's creating our life. Notice what he said. The words I speak in you, they are spirit, they are life. Say it like this. Say the words that God speaks are my spirit and my life. Now you could think about it like this too. The words that you speak are your life. You're revealing to us your life. When you say, I just had to speak my mind. Well, you told us what was in your mind. You had to, right? You told, that's who you are. You told us. Now, notice verse 64. Some people, though. But there are some of you that believe not.
Well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe it has nothing to do with what I think and what I say.
Well, Jesus said there'd be some of you wouldn't believe. That's what he said. The Message translation says like this, John 6, verse 63. The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word. And so it is life-making. See, the Spirit gives life. Words are spoken from the Spirit, and so they are life-making, as the translation says. Verse 64, but some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this, Jesus said. Well, you know what? We can keep beating our head against the wall if we want to. We can keep saying, well, none of that works. I've just got a hard life. Ain't no changing it. My family's always had hard living. I'm going to keep having it. Ain't no changing nothing. Just because you mean something I say, something I believe, something I think is going to change my life. That's what Jesus said. And so if you want to change your world, you want to change all that's going on out here, hey, people in Syria hate each other's guts and they're killing each other, not because they got bombs and weapons and gas, because something's wrong on the inside. We can take away the bombs or bomb them some more. We can take away the gas or gas them some more. But as long as their hearts and their minds thinking that hatred toward each other, they'll kill each other with a slingshot. I'm not getting political, but I'm just telling you that's the heart of the matter. And the same is true with you and me. Our world's out there, but it's only out there because it was in here first. You want to change it out there, change it in here. Amen. Stand with us this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer.